Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. The John Butler Trio joins us today with a new album called April Uprising. The dobro playing Butler is increasingly popular at home in Australia, where he is a major star, having recently been the subject there of a TV show called Who Do You Think You Are? That traced his ancestry. The Cafe's Tracy Tannenbaum, who does this interview, asked him if being on that show helped inspire his new record.
I think it was the impetus for the naming of the album.
Okay.
A lot of the music was already written before I went on that journey, but going on that journey to find out lots about my ancestry, and it took me to all over the place, and one of the places it took me to was a place called Koprivnica in Bulgaria, where my great-great-grandfather fought in an uprising called the April Uprising. So after that journey, I came back and started a new band, and then recorded an album with Nikki and Byron, and we had a ball. It was great. It was awesome. It was fun. I guess the power and the stability and the inspiration and the focus that I got from learning about my ancestry kind of really informed the recording process as far as how we wanted to record it. And there's a lot of kind of synchronicities, there's a lot of revolutionary kind of content on the album. And then we found out about all this other stuff in my past. And then this new trio of ours started in April. I was born 100 years after the uprising, actual April uprising, in April. And then we released the album in April. So for naming of the album, April Uprising became this metaphor for this huge musical revolution, spiritual, kind of metaphysical, personal, musical revolution. And April Uprising kind of fit, because it seems like everything kind of happened around April in one century or another. So that's kind of where April Uprising comes from. It doesn't directly inform the content. It's not a concept album, but it was a great metaphor for the period.
Now, I have to say, I don't think of you as someone who would necessarily appear on a TV show.
Yeah.
What made you decide to do that in the first place?
Oh, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have, teams around the world looking into your ancestry. I mean, that kind of stuff is really hard to find, and it takes a long, long time. And I got off the road after being on the road for, a long, long, long time. And the last thing I felt like doing is being around a camera. But that kind of information is gold. And it literally helped, a lot of people in my family and all of us kind of find out where we came from. So I said yes. And it's not your typical reality show. It's not like, Pimp My Crib or whatever the hell it is. It's pretty interesting stuff. It's pretty deep. And it's done by like the equivalent of PBS, like a soul TV station called SBS. Which is very multicultural based and very kind of interesting stories. So, I don't find myself to be one of those people either, but it was one of those opportunities with the right people to do some good stuff. I was kind of surprised that they picked me. I'm not really a celebrity as such, but I took the opportunity. I was like, wicked, whatever, man.
Did you have any expectations about the kinds of people you would find you've descended from?
No, not really. I mean, they asked me what I'd like to find, and I said, it'd be nice to find some musicians, some poets, or some revolutionaries. That'd be nice, but, at the same time, I was like, yeah, I'd be lucky to find that. It's just a fantasy. And then we found it, and it was kind of freaky.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I want to talk to you a lot about changes in the band, and again, the whole concept of April Uprising in a few minutes, but why don't we start with a tune? What do you want to begin with, John?
I would like to begin with a song called Don't Want to See Your Face.
Don't Want to See Your Face, great.
Song's dedicated to a music journalist that really pissed me off. But God love him.
You think I love you? You think Are you riding the car? Are you dripping the QQ? Yeah, to the baby C, not the Q to the I, to the S to the T to the U. Boy, between you and I, you don't know you're too familiar. No, you think I love you? You think I need you? Damn, no, get out the door. Don't wanna see your face no more. You think I love you? You think I need you? Damn, no, get out the door.
The John Butler Trio is our guest today on the World Cafe, and that's Don't Want to See Your Face from the latest album, April Uprising. Now, I just have to ask, first of all, I'm really afraid of offending you now after that song, okay. But what did that journalist do? What happened?
I'm not going to go into it too much, but he just, you know, I think there's a law of journalism that says this is off the record. You know, I'm curious. And so I told him something off the record. And then, you know, the next week it was printed in the media. And he was just one of those kids. See, the music industry is funny. It's kind of different than other media in a way. There's a lot of journalist cats trying to get backstage, get in the VIP section, get to see the who's who, the who's what, and whatever, you know. And they're not really, don't really care about music. A lot of them don't care about music. They care about climbing the ladder of their ego in a pretty vacuous scene at times. So he was one of those cats, and then he just broke a few rules, and better than kind of spanking him on the bottom, which I felt like doing with my banjo, I just wrote a song about him instead.
At least you got a good song out of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
banjo's intact.
Banjo's intact, exactly. Didn't hurt the banjo,
right.
Wrote a song, and hey, it's all good.
That's right. Now, John, you spent the first 10 years of your life in the United States, right? I mean, you're associated with Australia. You've lived there most of your life by now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess your parents got divorced and you went with your father, who's Australian, back to Australia.
Yeah.
So that must have been a real upheaval in your life. I mean, not just divorce, but then also leaving for a different continent.
Yeah, it was different. It was a culture shock, you know, from L.A. to Pinjarra.
What's Pinjarra like?
Pinjarra, well, I'll tell you what L.A. is like, first of all. Lomita is a small square mile town. I went to Lomita Elementary that bussed in kids from all over the L.A. county. And it had 12-foot-high chain-link fences around the school, which is pretty normal for America. And then I moved to Pinjarra, and there was no fences at all around the school. You could just walk in and out of it. And I remember thinking, there's no fences around this school at all. There's no fences. Get the hell out of here. This is freaky. It freaked me out, which is quite normal in Australia, but just I've never seen anything like it. It was different. It was, you know, moving from a very multicultural city like LA to a very mainly all-white small town called Pinjarra, which is beautiful. It has the Murray River running through it, and has a beautiful indigenous population called the Noongar people. But you know, also, you know, rife with racism and everything else that small towns usually have back in the mid '80s. So it was just different. You know, It was interesting. It was character building, and that river was my very good friend.
When you say it was character building, what do you mean?
I mean, you know, like all childhood, there's trials and tribulations, and there was sometimes American accent can in a small town can attract a little bit too much attention, more attention than one who just wants to kind of go under the radar needs. And it was kind of funny. It was interesting. I had a lot more in common with the Aboriginal crew in town because I kind of felt like I really related to them, because anytime I opened my mouth, it was like instant aggression. So once I got to know the Noongar people in town, I kind of just hung out with those guys and felt like we had a lot more in common. We both felt like outcasts. And so we banded together, hung out, and watched all the bald heads trip out in town, basically. I don't know.
And I know you discovered the dobro when you were a teenager. Can you tell me the story of that? And I would imagine that was kind of a good escape for you if you were going through some persecution there.
Well, I got given my grandfather's dobro when I was 16. I started to learn how to play guitar. And there was this tradition in my family. My grandfather died in 1958 in a bushfire in Western Australia, and he had 8 children, the youngest being 7 months and the oldest being 10. And my grandmother, after he passed away, said, "Look, first kid to learn how to play guitar gets your dad's guitar." And so they all tried to learn, and none of them kept at it. And so it was kind of like it kind of went down to the next generation. And I wasn't really vying to get the guitar. I'd seen a lot of people try to get it, and as a teenager, I wasn't really interested in being a part of a competition or anything. But as a 16-year-old, you know, you're into music. You want to learn how to play the electric guitar. It's like AC/DC, TNT. There's, you know, and I was into The Cure and Jane's Addiction and Marley. So yeah, the traditional rite of passage. You know, you learn a guitar, and I did, and I kept at it. And my grandmother on my 16th birthday gave me this dobro, which I didn't know what to do with. You know, it was like a 75-year-old instrument. It was made for playing slide guitar. I knew how to do an A minor chord on a 6-string, and for many years it sat under my bed, you know, like this strange Excalibur stuck in the rock. I didn't know what to do with it. I couldn't get it out. And then when I was 21, I discovered open tuning, and I actually started getting right into music at that point. That's when I learned how to play it. But yeah, music, yeah, as a 16-year-old, was a best friend. It was a diary entry thing. I never wanted to be a professional musician, but it was a great friend, a great outlet. You know, it was a great way to let out teenage angst, for sure.
So what shifted? Because I know you were planning on being an art teacher.
Shifted was I discovered open tuning, which is, for those people out there who don't know what that is, that's when a guitar is tuned to a chord. So you don't have to do a chord with your left hand. It's like already there, like this. It sounds like this. I'm not making a chord there. That's just a chord. So for me, that was a kind of a huge revelation, and I learned a lot. It taught me a lot how to play. And all of a sudden, this slide guitar, which you play slide in open tuning, started making a lot of sense to me all of a sudden. And I got hugely addicted. I started bringing my guitar to art class, and I started to busk at the same time. And I started really not wanting to write 10,000-word essays on, you know, conceptual art anymore. I just wanted to get my funk on. And so I left university, deferred, and I went on unemployment, which I called an art grant, and I gave myself a year to become self-employed. And after a year, I had an album, and I had a CD launch, and I got off unemployment, and my art grant worked, and now I'm in Philadelphia, here, yeah, with 2 soul brothers, and talking to you.
And why don't you introduce your soul brothers again, and then tell us what you want to play next, John?
This is Byron Luters on bass guitar, soul brother number one.
Hey.
And this is Nicky Bum on drums and percussion, soul brother number one as well.
Hey, hey.
And what are you going to play next?
We're going to play a song called Soul Brother Number 3, One Way Road.
Great.
Thank you.
can't relate to the real world. You're thinking that the booster is just for the birthday star. Those wars, the one on the land, see, and all the stars, they ride those wrongs. The ginger used to be with the boys and folk tongue. All right, who said, hey, maybe it's the government of today, or before the big business man. You think the old world, you ever want the man, and we'll see for the corrupt official for him. We should be the man in the middle of G4. Discover we're cooking Columbus in a pipeline. Mean I ain't gonna fight now, just because I got a gun. The lyric goes heavy in the lady. This guitar is my cannon, I just like Martin and Muhammad. I'm gonna love, I'm gonna overcome. I maybe it's E for all of the above, but I don't wanna be wrong. We go another one, we were wrong. We go another one, we were wrong. We go another one, we were gonna turn it all around, gonna back it all wrong. We go another one, we were wrong. We go another one, we were wrong. We go another one, we were gonna turn it all around, gonna back it on. These men, who they say we should follow, but we can follow me and the house are hollow. Yes, how can we respect a puppet regime that we do not elect? Straight up, straight up, straight up, like Pinocchio. And every time the lime and the fire just goes so, it's time to be part of the solution. Raise your fist to be a mean revolution. Doesn't mean I ain't gonna lie now, just because I got a gun. The lyrical was heavy in the lady. This guitar is my cannon, I just like Martin in my heart. I'm gonna love, I'm gonna overcome. Maybe it's E for all of the above, but I don't wanna be living in a pantomime, living in a fantasy. Oh, I don't wanna be, don't wanna be, I don't wanna be, don't wanna be, no. Living in a pantomime, living in a fantasy. Oh, I don't wanna be, don't wanna be, I don't wanna be, don't wanna be, no.
One Way Road, John Butler Trio is with us today, and the new album is called April Uprising. So your music has a lot of, you write a lot of political songs. You really look at what's going on in the world. When did you develop your kind of, the consciousness you have, the political consciousness? Have you always been aware?
I think it's probably something you're kind of born with. I think we're all born with a certain sense of justice and right and wrong, you know. I think we all have that as individuals, and depending on our upbringing and what we faced in life, some of us are a bit more attuned to that than others. I think moving to Pinjarra was a huge part of that, you know, huge part of that thing. And I've always had a problem with disrespect and kind of, you know, just injustice in general. You know, when hanging around with a lot of the Noongar people in Pinjarra, I got to see life through their eyes a bit. It was pretty interesting to be, in that part of town, you know, in the dark part of town, in a house at 10 or 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and watch a police car not pull up onto your driveway, but pull onto the front lawn and you know, flash its head beams, you know, its bright lights right into, you know, the bedroom windows and sit there for 20 minutes. You know, no white people in town get to see that because they're all asleep and cops don't go pulling up on their front lawns, putting on their, you know, their brights into your windows. But you get to see that if you're in an Aboriginal's house at 10 or 12 o'clock at night in a small country town that's rife with racism. So that kind of stuff kind of just angered me. And I guess I've always had I have an antenna that picks up on that quite a lot. It's the same thing, you know, in WA when I started making music, and there's a huge company called West Farmers that was going down in the south and just annihilate, like clear felling all these great old trees for wood chips, and basically the state government through an agency called CALM, who is conservation and land management, call them and go, you guys can take this stuff. And the government would say that. And then this company would come through and trash it, literally cut it all down, burn it, you know, take what they wanted, burn it, and then poison it. Poison it so that when they replanted it, none of the native animals would come and eat the seedlings. So this happened, and it was like, it was just destroying communities. It was destroying my country, our country. And it was destroying public land for private interests. And that just got to me. It just got to me. And I see that happening all around me all the time. It's probably worse than ever before. We can see it happening in the Gulf as we speak. That is because that's greed. And that's corporate manipulation of a government. You know, so... Yeah, that stuff just always kind of got to me, and that's so I felt like I had to be part of a positive movement on the planet. If I was going to concentrate a lot on my career and my songs and the look of my face in photo shoots, and it seemed all very me-centric, I just wanted to make sure that something I was doing was... So at the start, it was very naive, very straightforward, I'm going to save the trees, or this or that or the other, and you know, I later kind of matured and realized that most music and most art is just making the world a better place, and it's more about the intent more than the content.
I hear you. Because one of the things, when I hear a song like One Way Road or the opening track on your new CD, the song Revolution, the music is kind of, it's so great and it's so funky that the meaning or the words can get lost, because I love hearing the sound and I kind of want to dance to it, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think I know what you mean. I mean, it's the same thing that Bob and Damian Marley say. You know, it's when the music hits you, you feel no pain. Hopefully, you can shake your ass to it, and you have a big smile on your face. And then, underneath it all, there's these lyrics that are potent and that are saying something about the times that you're living in. And I think that's a cool thing. I like it. I mean, it'd be really bad if they couldn't dance to it. It's like, uh-oh,
absolutely.
Problem. They don't like the music. They're definitely not going to hear the lyrics.
That's right. That's a good point. Yeah. John Butler Trio is with us today. What do you want to finish up with, John?
2, 3, yeah.
Let it get better of you. What could be better than that? Life's not about.
That's the John Butler Trio with Better Than, and they are our guests today on the World Cafe. Their new album is called April Uprising.
World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.